Good evening. I was excited. I'm not a very creative person. I text Chris earlier this week, and I told him, I have your title for your sermon, the one that rhymes. And I got really excited, and he didn't take my title. He said, oh, well, I already have a title. I'm like, yeah, but this one rhymes as well. So, ironically, you're getting two rhyming sermons. I still wanted to have it. New me in 2023. We're looking at spiritual goals for 2023. I was in the security booth this morning. I didn't really get to hear what Chris said for everything, but I caught most of it between the two services. And from what I can tell, we don't really overlap any other than our rhyming title. But we're looking at new me in 2023. You see, what happens on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, you make these resolutions. You make these goals. You make these resolutions on what you want to do, what you want to get rid of, what you want to change about from last year to this year. And you try and keep those. And you try and follow them up, and you try and keep it going throughout the year. And here's some statistics, I guess you could say, and I found these very interesting. 22% of resolutions fail after the first week. 40% of resolutions fail after a month. 50% of resolutions will fail after the first 3 months. So 50% of the resolutions you make fail after the first 3 months. 60% of resolutions fail after 6 months. I feel like after you hit 6 months, you might as well just keep it going for the rest of the year. But the 60% of people disagree. Here's the real part. And this is what I call the realist person. Statistics say that about 30% of people don't bother to make a New Year's resolution because they know they won't keep that resolution. That's a realist. You understand, hey, listen, I'm not going to bother with it. I'm not going to make it. Then you have our last one. Only about 8% of people do actually keep their resolution for the year. 8% of people keep that resolution. As I was growing up, my sister and my dad are part of that 8%. 6 years ago, they chose to stop drinking Coke. They only drink water right now, and I think my dad and my sister might drink tea, sweet tea as well. But they decided to stop drinking Coke. 6 years later, they still have that resolution going, and they haven't fallen away from it. We're going to get back to that story at the very end and kind of sum it up at the very end. But this is what we're looking at. We're looking at resolutions that we can make, these spiritual resolutions that we can make. At the beginning of every year, I give the kids in the youth group a piece of paper. It's a blank piece of paper. And I say, listen, what I want you to do is I want you to write down, this year was six. I want you to write down six spiritual resolutions for this year, spiritual goals. Now I want you to write six physical goals for this year. I don't look at them. I have them put them in an envelope, and then I have a bigger envelope, and I have them put them in there. And then at the very end of the year, I try and remember it, and we pull it back out. They get to look at it. They get to see how their year went, and they get to make new goals for this year. But that's what we're going to be looking at. And of course, there are a lot of other goals that I can put on here. But tonight, we're going to be looking at five different goals and how we can do this. And that first goal is for us to pray more this year. If you will turn me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I have verse 17, but we're going to look at verses 16, 17, and 18. They all flow together. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Pray without ceasing. We've talked about prayer from the pulpit before. I'm sure you've heard prayer and the importance of prayer from class. You've heard it from multiple different people. If you've been to anywhere, they're going to be talking about prayer. But tonight, we're just going to look at a couple of reasons to pray or to add prayer to your New Year's goal, your New Year's resolutions. It helps to strengthen your relationship with God. You're talking to the Creator. You're spending time with God. You're spending time talking to Him. It strengthens that relationship, just like it would with an actual person. You and this actual person, physical being, you talking to them, it strengthens the relationship. You talking to God strengthens that relationship. The second part is you have an opportunity to ask for guidance. You have an opportunity to ask God for guidance of your life, to help guide you through difficult parts of your life. You get to ask for that. You get to ask for forgiveness. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've heard that over and over again. We've heard it from the pulpit not too long ago. We've heard it at Exposure. We've heard it at a lot of different places. We get to ask God for forgiveness. We get to ask the Creator for forgiveness. And then also, I just kind of threw everything else into one category, is to ask for something, whether that's opportunities, whether that's wants, whether it's healing, whether it's... Oh, you fill in the blank. You're talking to God. You're asking Him for these opportunities. You're asking Him for these wants that we see. You're asking for these healings. If you go to Matthew, you have that model prayer. And you see the things that the model prayer models it after. That praise to God. Then you have the things of right now. You have the things of the future. You have the things of the past. And we have these prayers that we can pray to God. Praying to God more will help your Christianity in 2023. You get to ask for these opportunities. If you want to work on patience, I do this quite a bit. Patience is always one of those things I can work on. And you pray for that opportunity to be patient, and never fails that next day that opportunity arises. And you get to decide if you want to be patient that day, work on that patience, or if you're just going to kind of throw that idea out the window. Pray for these opportunities. Pray for this guidance, for God to guide your life. Pray for this forgiveness, that we can be forgiven. Pray more in 2023. The second one is read more. I've talked about it a lot. I'm very passionate about it, of opening up our Bibles and reading. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. And of course, we'll look a little bit before all this happens. But what we have here is the temptation of Jesus. He's being tempted in the wilderness. Verse 1 says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry." I've mentioned this from the pulpit. That's an understatement. At that point, I'm starving. He's fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He was hungry. "And the tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.' But he answered, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Jesus is being tempted here. He's out in the wilderness. He's fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He's hungry, the way the Bible translates that. He's hungry. And his idea, or the devil's idea, this tempter's idea, is him to come down and say, "Listen, turn these rocks into bread. And you can eat this. You won't be hungry anymore." And he quotes from the Old Testament. As we go through our lives, and as we start struggling in our lives, as these storms or these temptations, these things that come into our lives, as that happens, we can turn to the Bible itself and find the answers for what we're looking for. But the only way for us to find those answers is to know where to look. We see that. The other reasons would be it would help you to know God better. How else would you know God better than to open up His Word and read His Word? And we're not asking, and I'll get to this in a minute as well, but we're not asking for you to sit down for an hour every single day and read the Bible. Start small in your goals. Start with a couple minutes every single day and build up from there. Fit, make it fit what would be best for you as an individual. It would help you grow in relation with other Christians. It helps you grow in those relations. It tells you the times when you need to be silent, when you need to be there for other people, when you need to carry their or help them bear their own burdens. It helps us grow in relationship with other Christians. And it will change your life. If you sit down and you read your Bible cover to cover, I promise that's going to change your life. You're going to be a better Christian from it. I had it written down. I guess I will say it. I decided not to say it. I made a deal with the youth group, and none of them actually came back. I don't know if they remembered it. But I promised them, if you show up to every single event this summer, I told them, and you feel like you didn't grow as a Christian, you feel like you didn't get better as a Christian, come find me after the summer. And I'll make it right with you. I'll do something for you in order to make it right. But that was if they came to every single event and if they felt like they didn't grow as a Christian. I'll make you all that same deal. For 2023, if you read your Bible cover to cover, you truly read your Bible, and you come to me at the end of the year and you say, "Hunter, listen, I read it from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation, and I did not grow as a Christian," I'll do something for you. I don't know what that something will be, because I know you're not going to come up to me at the end of the year and say, "Hey, I just did not grow as a Christian." Reading God's Word is very powerful. Reading God's Word leads to a lot of great things. And that's part of it. And it will fill you up. And we'll get to what we mean by that here in a little bit as well. But it's going to fill you up. That hungering and thirsting for righteousness, that's where that gets quenched. Or we hunger and thirst for righteousness. Try reading our Bible more in 2023. Also, be at Bible class. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It says, all scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We go to this verse a lot because we look at it as the scripture is breathed out by God, it's inspired by God. But we oftentimes don't see what scripture does for us. We don't see the good things that happens. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Bible class is important. You grow at Bible class. You learn at Bible class. Yeah, yes, it's something that we add to our worship itself. It's before our normal worship service, and you go and you split up into all these groups. There are a lot of good things that come with Bible class. It allows for planned Bible study. Usually, most of the time, nearly every single church I've been to or talked to, it's a planned Bible study. You go from one thing to the next, and it's not jumping around. It helps with your planned Bible studies. It helps with your growth as a Christian. It provides better understanding. This is an opportunity where you can sit down and you can interact with people. You can talk to them about the Bible. You can learn more with other Christians, other like-minded Christians. And you can ask questions. You understand the Bible better by going to Bible class. And it helps us avoid error. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. And with the time being, we're not going to turn to it. But Caleb read it earlier. And we see that. And we're going to look at verses 15 and 16 here in a minute. But it helps us avoid error. It helps us avoid the error that the world's going to be pushing at us. Oftentimes, people ask me, as being the youth minister, what kind of topics do you try and cover? I try and cover the things that the world covers. Because if your kid's at school and they're hearing one thing from their friends and they're not hearing it from the church itself, they're going to believe their friend before they believe the church. It helps us avoid error. And then it helps the church grow and to be united. It helps us grow closer together. It helps us have that bond as Christians. It allows us to grow together through these planned Bible studies, through this better understanding that comes with the Bible class itself. And lastly, it will help our children's decision to serve God be much more profitable. There's a reason we go to Bible class. There's a reason the eldership has made time for Bible class itself. There's a reason why opening your Bible is always a good thing. There's a lot of great things. And of course, I could have mentioned a handful of other things as well. But being present in Bible class will also make you a better Christian in 2023. It will lead you to a better understanding. It will lead you to a stronger foundation. It will lead you to a stronger faith. It will help you find your own faith. It will help you be a stronger Christian at the end of the day. And then we have attendance. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Well, we'll go ahead and turn there real quick as well. Hebrews 10, verse 25, it says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Church attendance is important as well. Being here when we worship together, as we just read, not neglecting to meet together, not neglecting the assembly. Attendance is important when it comes to 2023. And there's a handful of reasonings. Worshiping God is a command. And we see that throughout the Bible. We just see the not neglecting to meet together. We see that worshiping Jesus together is powerful. We see that in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. And we'll go ahead and turn there real quick as well. Go ahead and turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. It says, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them, or there I am also. He's there. Jesus is there when we're gathered in his name. Jesus is there when we're sitting here and worshiping, and when we're sitting here and having Bible studies together, when we're sitting here at any moment and worshiping him. He's here. We see Christians need encouragement. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. We see that also we can help carry each other's burdens, and we see that in Galatians 6, too. Church attendance is important because it helps you as a person. And not only does it help you as an individual in your walk with Christ and your life and your struggles and the things that you're going through, but it helps other people as well. My fifth point is going to kind of tie into this as well, but we all have different paths in our lives. We've all been through different things. We've all experienced different things. And the people that are after us, the people that are younger than us, they're going through those same things. And you can be here as an encourager to them. You can be here as someone to encourage. You see, Christians need encouragement, but we're also here to encourage other people as well. We're here to encourage each other. We're here to help carry each other's burdens. We're here to see ourselves struggling and to be there for each other so we can help guide us through this life. And I saw a quote, and I wanted to say it, and I don't mean for it to offend anybody, but if it does, you probably fit this quote. It says, the quickest way to lose your kids to the world is to fit church into your schedule instead of fitting your schedule around church. I thought that was so true. The quickest way to lose your kids, the quickest way to lose your family to the world, the quickest way to lose your family to whatever it is to make church an option instead of making church that priority that it needs to be. As soon as we show our family, as soon as we show our kids, as soon as we show anybody that church is an option, that we can just go and it's convenient, they also see it as an option. They also see it as we will only go to church if it's convenient for us. We have to make church a priority. And before I get to my fifth point, I wanted to discuss something that all of these points kind of have in common before this fifth one. We've looked at praying. We've looked at reading the Bible. We've looked at Bible class. We've looked at church attendance itself. We've seen the growth that happens throughout all these. We've seen the benefits of all of them. But let's think about our lives for a second. Don't raise your hand or answer the question. Think about this on your own. I guess a rhetorical question. Think about it on your own. Let me ask you a couple questions. Do you pray every day? Do you read your Bible every day? Steve already mentioned it, of the family that had their home Bible study. Do you have a home Bible study every single day where you get your family together and read God's Word and study His Word and sing praises to Him? Do we do those things? For the answer for most of us, it's no. Most of us, we don't pray every single day. Most of us, we don't open up our Bible and read every single day. Most of us, Bible class isn't that important to us. Most of us, attendance isn't a huge deal. We'll be there when we're there. That's not the Christian way to think. Because as Christians, we're here to grow our spirituality. We're here to get stronger as Christians. We're here to build that foundation. We're here to be that example. We're here so people can rely on us. But we can't do that when we're not doing all the rest of it. You see, and I saw the quote, and Big Red's mentioned it a handful of times from class, and a class as well. He says it's hard to get spiritually fit if you only work out 3 times a week. It's hard to get, we're going to rephrase, it's hard to get spiritually fit if you're only working out 3 times a week. Obviously, what I mean by that is only opening up your Bible, only studying God's Word at church. You can't get spiritually fit. You can't get spiritually ready 3 times a week. I tell the parents in my youth group that I'm a supplement to what they're doing. I'm a supplement to help them out with what they're doing at home. And if you're not doing anything at home, that supplement's not going to do a whole lot. Most of it, supplements in general, you can take protein after you work out, and it'll help you. I don't know the exact technical terms, but let's say it will help you get stronger. Taking protein without working out isn't going to do a whole lot for you. Showing up to church and only opening your Bible at church isn't going to do a whole lot for you spiritually. We have to understand that all of these things are going hand in hand. We have to understand that reading your Bible, praying, Bible class, church attendance, just being present in church, listening, being an active member of the church, all runs hand in hand with building your Christianity, making your Christianity stronger. And that's our goal for 2023, is to be better Christians, to build our Christianity, to have that stronger foundation, to be more than we were last year. That's what we should all be striving for. And the last one is to get active. Get active. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. It says, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow one another in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. From who the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." I've talked about this not too long ago in a sermon. We all have these unique abilities. We're all unique to the church itself. Something that I'm good with is something else might not be good with. Something that I'm terrible with, somebody else might be better at. We work together as a church. We work together to be better as a church, to grow as a church, to help everybody in the church. Everyone has a job, and every single job is important in this congregation. There are so many jobs that you can do within this congregation to be active, and every single one of those jobs are important. One thing can't happen without the other. There's not one that's lower on a totem pole than another one is. Everyone has a job. And they're all important. Everyone has that unique gift, as I just mentioned. Everyone has a unique gift. And that unique gift you can use to better this congregation, to better the people in this congregation, to be there for other people, to help encourage other people. Your gift might be just to sit down and listen to somebody. But you sitting down and listening to somebody might make that person's entire week. Your job, or your unique gift might just be saying hello to somebody, being unique with it, or being sincere with that hello, and it making that other person's entire week as well. It will give you an opportunity to serve others if you get active in the church. It's an opportunity to serve other people, to serve the church itself, and to serve its members. It puts your faith into action. It's easy for us as Christians to claim Christianity and say, yes, yeah, we're a Christian. It's easy for you to go to work, go to school, go into the world and claim Christianity. It's another thing to show Christianity. I'm always big on actions speak louder than words. It's easy for you to go up and say, yeah, I'm a Christian. It's another thing for people to look at you and say, man, that guy's a Christian. That guy has to be a Christian by the way he's acting, by the things he's doing, by his actions, the way he carries himself at work, the way they carry themselves at school, the way they carry themselves, I don't know, around Walmart. I'm very anti-Walmart. I dislike Walmart. It's like going there. It always puts me in a bad mood. But I feel like that rubs off on God as well. When I'm in that bad mood moping around Walmart because I don't want to be there, people see that. But if I had a positive attitude, if I was always uplifting, if I actually let my light shine instead of being negative at Walmart, they can see God through me. That's something I'm working on this year. Being active in the church is something that we can all work on. I will go as far as to say this. I'm sure the elders won't be too upset about this. If you don't have a thing to do, if you don't have a way to be active in this congregation, go ask them what you can do. I'd love for every single one of you to bombard them after church. If you don't have a way to be active, if you don't have something that you're doing, if you feel like you're not really fitting in right now, but you feel like you could if you just got involved, you ask them a way that you can be involved, and they'll find you something to do. They'll find a way for you to be involved, and they'll make sure that you feel involved in the congregation itself. We have to get active in 2023. We have to actively worship. And this is semi-different from what we've been talking about, but that actively worship goes along with that attendance. It goes along with the Bible class. It goes along with reading your Bible. It goes along with praying. Actively worship God. Don't just come here and sit down and pull out your phone and go through the motions of church service. Don't show up and claim to be that Christian but not do anything about it. Don't show up and take up a spot. Instead, show up and worship God every single time that you have that opportunity. That we can be better Christians, and by actively worshiping, you grow as that Christian. You grow every single time you actively worship. I want to make sure that we actively worship this year. then we get into the part of what does this look like? What is the reading more? What is the praying more? What does that have to do with anything? Spend time talking to God every day this year. It doesn't have to be a lot. It doesn't have to be for hours and hours and hours. But spend time. Spend more time this year talking to God than you did last year. And if it's zero from last year, make it a little bit this year and build off of it. If it was a good bit last year, make it even more this year. But spend time talking to God every single day this year. Make time for God this year. I send out a message usually it's around every Monday, around lunchtime or so for the youth group and the parents. And it breaks down the week and what we're doing. But here recently we've been reading through the New Testament. And at the end of it I say, make time for God this week. Make time for God's Word this year. Make time, block out a time of your day that you can spend time with God. As I mentioned earlier, it doesn't have to be these hours or a lot of time. There's a book we're doing right now in our Monday Night Together. It's just the Sower's book. It's Through Lives of Leaders. But what they do is, I believe it's a 10-minute window or a 10-minute section. And it's you praying for 2 minutes. You studying the Bible and then you praying at the end. 10 minutes of your day. You can sit there and you can pray. You can read your Bible and you can pray about what you just read for 10 minutes. Something that we can do as Christians this year. We need to make time for God this year. We need to make Bible class a priority this year. Make it a priority for us to go and us to always finding opportunities to learn, to ask questions, to get involved with class, to be present this year. I believe that might be my next point. Make church a priority. Make church a priority this year. Make it the priority that you have for 2023. Make God the priority that you have for 2023. And then lastly, find ways to be active this year. Find ways that you can be active this year. So my question is, what are your spiritual goals this year? These are some spiritual goals. These are, in my opinion, some decent spiritual goals. These are the basic spiritual goals. But what are your spiritual goals this year? It might be to read your Bible more. It might be to pray more. It might be to be here more, to be present more. It might be to be more active. But it might be to be more patient. It might be to finally kick that sin in your life that you've had for a long time that you've just never been able to kick. It might be to be a better husband, be a better father, be a better child. There are a lot of goals that we can have this year. There are a lot of spiritual goals that we can have this year. But I want to encourage us to stick to those goals. You see, 6 years ago, my dad and my sister, they decided that they're going to get rid of Coke. They're not going to drink any more Coke. I commend them for that. I also made that same goal 6 years ago. I didn't see the percentage for the one day mark, but I lasted a day and then I had to have a Coke. I didn't make it that long. We're going to make all these goals. We're going to do all these things. And it might be these physical goals that we make. It might be these spiritual goals. We're going to make goals this year. Some of us might fall in those categories, but I encourage us to push ourselves to be that 8%. Especially when it comes to these spiritual goals. Push yourself to be that 8% that doesn't quit those goals. Push yourself to be better every single day. Push yourself to put God first in your life. And if you fall down one day, if you mess up one day, if you let that one day slide, and you feel like your goals are ruined, don't let that day ruin you. Start again the next day. Just because you mess up one day doesn't mean it's over for you. Doesn't mean that you have to wait till next January 1st to start over. Make sure we put God first in our lives. And make sure that we're here for each other. To hold each other accountable. To push each other. To be here for each other. Make sure our goals stay firm in God's Word. Make sure they line up with what God wants. Tonight, you have time to set these goals. You have time to make these goals. The day's not over yet. You still have an opportunity. But you have an opportunity to evaluate how you were last year. To evaluate the spirituality, the growth that you had in 2022. And if that growth wasn't a whole lot, you can make that change this year. You can hold yourself at a higher standard this year. Maybe you haven't been baptized and you've been thinking about it and this 2022 just wasn't your year for that. Make it your year in 2023 to be baptized, to follow God, to be part of God's kingdom. Whatever your need may be, just please let it be known as we stand and sing.